Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is Friday. It is the last Friday in July. It seems like the summer has flown by, and Jen has found a crazy good case that reminds me a lot of a case that we have done before, but it's completely different, which makes me believe that there's something strange going on in Ohio. So, Jen, tell us a little bit about Tyler Davis.
Yeah, so there's this couple on February 24th of 2019. They decide they're going to go on a Columbus, Ohio trip. They lived in Wilmington, so this was only a nine-hour drive for them, and they were going to go to the Marriott, kick their feet up. They were going to leave their young child with, I believe it was the guy's name is Tyler. The Tyler's the husband. They were going to leave the baby with Tyler's parents, and they were going to celebrate her birthday. And things unravel from there. You know, they end up going to bars. Things don't go right. People go missing. And it is just one of those stories to where you don't know who did it, what happened, if anything happened. And it's absolutely crazy.
Now, what year was Brian Schaefer? I don't remember at all. Was it like a long time ago?
I would have to look it up. We've covered so many cases. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was like this Columbus, Ohio thing. It's like some kind of Bermuda Triangle thing when it comes to Columbus, where all of these strange things and these people go missing. And you're just like, well, it's Columbus, Ohio. This kind of thing shouldn't happen. And it does, though. And it is strange. And one of the things that I noticed when I was researching it is that the wife, Brittany, she goes on podcasts. She's talked to like Dateline. It's not as if she's kind of blowing it off or something like that. She throws herself out there and, you know, puts herself out there, and then it kind of can make her seem pretty bad sometimes. You know, it's just like one of the things that with it is because like when you hear the story and you go, okay, and you hear the basics, and then you hear later, oh, she adds some stuff to it, and you learn about it, like a strip club and everything like that. And you're like, oh, okay, well, where'd that come from? And it's.
Yeah. Okay. So I was looking at Brian Schaefer. He disappeared in 2006 from the Ugly Tuna.
Yeah.
It seems so like detectives were very leery of Brittany, who is the wife of Tyler, from the get. You know, she decides that, you know, we're going to go on this vacation. It's my birthday. We're going to celebrate it together. We leave the baby back at, you know, mama's house, and we're going to go and have a good time together. But as they got to the Marriott, they also meet up with other local friends in the area. So you have other people that come into the mix. Yes. They go out to bars. They get hammered. They visit a lot of different places. Tyler starts to not feel good. He gets disoriented. He starts to tell them, I don't feel so well. He gets an Uber back to the Marriott. At least two people joined him in the Uber. It doesn't say if his wife was one of them. He fell asleep in the car.
Yeah,
that
there's
tells
a lot of
you.
Yeah,
anything.
There's it does, because here's the thing. So she said, oh, you know, we only get to be alone three times a year. My birthday, his birthday, and our anniversary. That's the only time, right? The rest of the time that they have the kids. And so they take this trip. Oh, we're going to the big city. We're going to Columbus. And I guess it's right next to a shopping center, the place that they stayed. And they don't even check in until about 5 o'clock. And then Brittany, because all of this remembers coming from Brittany, because Tyler's dead. So essentially we're getting most of it from Brittany. And she said that a friend, a close friend, and this is the thing that gets me and I guess a lot of other people, is we don't know who the friend is, because the friend has somehow been given redacted status. And we
don't
know.
Well, his name is Brian Shaw. It's out there. So section. Okay. Whatever that you always go on about will fully cover me on that. That name is out there. Brian Shaw accompanied them. The thing is that after Tyler goes missing and after things go askew, he does not reappear to try. There's nothing to indicate that he looks for Tyler or that he wants to get reinvolved in the case. Why he disappeared after meeting up with this couple is really sketchy. You know, what happens to Tyler at the bars or at the restaurants to where he is so drowsy, he falls asleep in the Uber. You know, he's disoriented. He is adamant to the people in his Uber, we're not going the right way. We're not at the right place. We need to turn around. I need to get out of here. He's just acting completely wily. And they're acting him, you know, asking him, what's wrong with you? You know, we kind of had the same drinks as you. You know, I wonder if he was spiked or something like that.
It kind of sounds like it a little bit. One of the things is that this kind of is weird. So they get in at 5, right? And so then the person you said, Brian Shaw, they come to the hotel to hang out with them, but they don't actually leave the hotel till 8:30. So they are doing a lot of pre-gaming, a lot of drinking here. And then, okay, so we're going to leave the hotel and they decide to walk around the shopping center. Well, it's 8:30 at night and they're walking around the shopping center and she says, well, we got some dinner and everything. And then we walked around the town to kind of get the lay of the land because we're going to go shopping the next day. And we even had a couple's massage planned and something like that. But now this is a huge shopping complex. It's a couple hundred stores. There's like 40 restaurants. People live there. There's nearly 1,000 like residential units and stuff. And Brittany said, well, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning when they took the Uber. And that is when, so in the Uber was Brittany and Tyler and then this friend. Now, what I've heard is that they both worked nights, that Brittany and Tyler both worked nights, and that they got off, I guess, the day before, and then they kind of stayed up and essentially had been up for 24 hours or 36 hours or whatever, in addition to this partying.
Yeah, so which is not healthy, but they were night owls, and by their own actions, they will tell you that is how they operated just on a day-to-day basis. And it just seems like that, you know, once they got out of the Uber, Tyler didn't go into the hotel immediately. No. He disappears. He says, look, you know, I'm going to take a walk. I need to get away from all of you. He walks away from them. You know, it's around 3:30 a.m. He's walking away from the hotel around 4:10. He's last seen going into the woods. He makes one lonely phone call to his wife and he tells her, oh, I can see the hotel from the woods. I'm heading your way. He never heads her way. He calls her again, but all she can hear in the background is the rustling of leaves. There's nothing audible coming from his mouth. And so she calls him back. And once she calls him back, of course, there's no answer. Every phone call after that goes to, you know, it doesn't ring anymore. So she claims that she's panicked, but she doesn't want to alert a lot of people. I don't know what's up with that. And one of the people that she doesn't want to alert is his parents. Yeah. She's like, the last people on earth I would ever want to alert is his parents, because A, they would flip out, and B, he would be so angry with me if I told his parents that he was acting out in a way that they didn't think was kosher. So she called the Columbus Police Department and they didn't send out search and rescue right away. I'll be clear with you. They didn't send it out until the 26th. So he disappeared on the 24th. They waited 2 days. On the 26th, search and rescue begins. The phone pings on his phone. They're of no help. You know, they go to the middle of an intersection, and much like Murray, they just stop. There's nowhere to go from there. And then his phone goes dead, of course. And the last time that he checked his phone, he was asking whether it's being Siri or Cortana or whoever his service was with, how do I get back to the Marriott? He was constantly asking the cell phone service, how do I get directions back to the hotel? So it doesn't seem like someone that was trying to walk off, right?
It doesn't seem like somebody who's trying to walk off, but at the same time, you know, because again, we're going with Brittany and the other guy hasn't really talked. So what is weird is, so Brittany says when we got out of the Uber, that Tyler seemed confused and frustrated and that he was going to go for a walk, which is odd at 3:30 in the morning when you have fallen asleep in the Uber, because I get that some people try and frame it that he was, angry or something, and that's why he needed the time alone. But, you know, other times you see Brittany say, no, he was just asleep and then he woke up and he was confused. I get that to some extent. You know, if you had been drinking and you could be confused and you're like, where am I? What's the situation? What's going on here? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to walk. And then if you have two people that are with him that are in the same situation, and they're not thinking necessarily logically. They're like, no, no, you got to come with us. You know, you don't know where you are. You're out of town. You got to come with us. If you don't have that situation, then things can get really bad.
Absolutely. But the thing about this couple is they'll lead you to believe that they had either, you know, one or two small children. They did not get out much. They worked at night and they didn't have a lot of free time on their hands. But how these two met were they were party animals. They enjoyed going to nightclubs, which included strip clubs. And once they got to this destination in Columbus, Ohio, they too go to a dollhouse. They go to a strip club. They drink. So these two, you know, they don't mind sharing, you know, entertainment of women together. They yeah. did some things that night that, you know, most normal couples, and, you know, I use normal very loosely, most normal couples would not do. But these people, they must be very close. She goes to a strip club with him. She ends up leaving him. You know, she goes to the washroom. She's like, look, I've got to go to the restroom. He's like, I don't feel good. I'm disoriented. I wouldn't have left my husband, but, you know, she's different. She leaves her husband. I wonder what's up with her.
But was the other guy with them at the strip club?
Yes, he was there. He disappears after the strip club moment, and he never reappears. Even after he finds out that Tyler is missing, mm-hmm. he no longer wants to help. We don't have a joiner of any sort. He doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to talk about any conversations that may lead to the whereabouts of where Tyler ended up or what Tyler may have been into. If they were sharing drugs, there are a lot of rumors, and there's nothing but rumors. They're unsubstantiated that Tyler went there to score cocaine and that the guy who met up with him was a cocaine dealer. We have nothing again to solidify yeah. that's true, but Tyler did get into the Uber quite messed up, very confused. So if he was laced up with something, you know, it would make sense as to either something being in his drink or he took something maybe he shouldn't have taken.
One of the things that I come back to is that Brittany changed her story a bunch. And,
yes.
But I wonder, okay, let me ask you this. Do you think she changed her story because she can't keep track of the facts and she's lying? Or is she changing her story because she was wasted out of her mind too and doesn't remember?
She is changing the facts, in my personal opinion, because she has small children that she does not want to lose to the DFAC system, and she may or may not be participating in the same type of substance abuse as her husband. And the type of people that they are dealing with are very dangerous. They are the type of people that if you rat on them, they will make sure that you are missing, and the only person that is going to find you is some old man fishing. So in order for her to go home, I'm being very honest. I looked up all these people.
Some old man fishing. Like
yeah, you know, you about to get missing.
No, I got to write that one down.
The only person
going to
find you, some old man fishing, just like the rap song says. So
I like that one.
She left that alone. She's like, okay, we got our dope, possibly, maybe, allegedly. I have two small children at home. I don't want them to go into the DFAC system. I lost my husband. That's his loss, you know. I told him not to do it, or maybe he got in too deep. That's just my opinion on Brittany. Why her story would change is because she's not dealing with just any friend. She's dealing with someone who is capable of just about anything. That is my opinion of him. He is a guy who, if you need to get something done, he could get it done.
I got to get a t-shirt made with that saying. gonna go missing till old man go fishing. I love it.
Well, I mean, if you want to look for bodies, you know, anytime somebody goes missing and it's drug related, either they're burned in the back of the car or we know to go look in the body of water, you're bound to find something.
So Brittany, one of the first things that she said was that she offered. So Tyler's going to go for this walk, and Brittany offers to go on the walk with him, but her phone was dying. So their friend went with Tyler. And so Brittany went to the hotel room to charge her phone and then went back outside a couple of minutes later, but couldn't find her husband or their friend. So why is it so important that you need to go charge your phone? That's the part, like, okay, my husband is having all these issues and he's confused and he wants to go for a walk and we've never been here. We don't live anywhere near here and he's out of sorts. Oh, my phone's dying. I should go inside and charge it. You know, It's so weird.
Because she's a weirdo. She's got something to hide, in my opinion, because she goes on to tell Dateline, you know, it's 4:30 a.m., your husband's missing. And Dateline asks her, aren't you concerned? And she says, I didn't have a good feeling about it, but, you know, my husband's safety and me calling friends and asking on advice for what to do. They told me just to wait it out. I was reassured that nothing was wrong. He was probably just going on a walk by himself. I mean, did this guy often go on walks by himself? Did Brittany need him out of her life? Was she looking to hook up with someone else? I would be curious as to what she's doing after Tyler never resurfaced again. You know, what was her life like? I know that she resurfaced a couple years ago claiming that she was still looking for her long lost husband, but you know, the people with Kyron Horman, they still do that too, and they don't mean it.
Yeah, and so she says, she goes back outside, so I guess she went inside to plug in her phone, and then comes back outside, couldn't find the husband or the friend, and she's like, oh, what's going on? And then while she's outside, now this is, okay, this is where her story just, we know her phone is dying or dead. So she goes to plug it in, apparently to leave it there because it's going to die. But then she comes right back outside, and then she says that Tyler called her, but she's outside. So how does she have the phone? Is she plugged in for 30 seconds or something like that?
Well, yeah, because to me, he's out, and this is my opinion, okay? It's not substantiated. My opinion. He's out trying to score drugs in Columbus, because if you need drugs, you're from Wilmington, you go to Columbus, okay? You're trying to get the good stuff. She's like, go get me some stuff. My phone's dying. When you find the hookup, call me and let me know. That's the only reason you'd be running up to your room, feverishly, you know, plugging your phone in, hoping to get some type of charge. You want to hear something quick. You know, it's kind of like the story you were talking about with the blind about the girl who saw the stuff and she licked her lips and she's like, yeah, that's the stuff. I mean, these are the type of people, in my opinion, that we're dealing with, because you're sending your husband out, it's 4:30 in the morning. He's in the woods in a place he doesn't know where he's at. You're charging your phone like a crazy person instead of looking for your husband. And you're like, did you score it? Did you score it? Did you score it? And I mean, she's not getting the answers that she wants, or he's coming up empty. And she's like, in my opinion, don't come back without it, because I've read all kinds of stuff about this story and the friends do speak out. There is a level of substance abuse underlying in the story. Okay. I don't know which one of them have it, if both of them have it, but the charging of the phone indicates to me someone's trying to score, and they're like, look, I need to know when you score. I'm jazzing, you know, I'm jiving to have that hit and I don't have it yet. So I don't know why they didn't just go back out to the bars.
Well, because they're closed probably.
But, oh, you're right. Because everything closes at 3 a.m. in Columbus, right? Or 2 a.m.?
Probably 2 a.m. So,
see, I'm not a clubber, so I depend on you to tell me. I guess, yeah, 3 a.m. You know, it differs state to state.
It does.
As you get further south, they're lit until 3:34 in the morning. It depends on where you go.
Yeah, but at this time, I think like 3:30, I think it's fair to say that they were probably closed. But so apparently the couple's friend, this other person, comes back to the hotel. So that would indicate then that Brittany's back inside and Tyler's not with him, but he comes in and tells Brittany, and again, this is all according to Brittany, that he said Tyler would be right back too, which means that I guess that he had been with Tyler and said, oh, you know, what, are you going to keep walking? Okay, well, I'm going to go back to the hotel or something like that. And then Brittany says, but I kept trying to call Tyler and he wouldn't answer. And Brittany added that their friend had seen Tyler on the walk, but was unclear why or at what point they had separated. To me, that would be question number one. Well, where was he headed? Which way? Why did you leave him? That kind of thing.
Exactly, because by the 26th, when SAR actually starts looking for the body or any type of, you know, where did Tyler go? They start getting scent at the water, which is not a good sign. And it doesn't say if they dived and found anything, but the water was where the dogs kept hitting. And for that guy to have last seen him, he doesn't have a lot of good answers for what they were doing together in those final moments or where Tyler said he was heading off to. When Brittany phoned the police before the SARS incident began, she said, I need to report my husband missing. They said, listen, a man has a right to walk off. Have you gave it 48 hours? And she said, yeah, I have. He's been missing since the 24th. I need to know where my husband is. And they said, is he into anything hinky? And she was very quiet. She didn't say.
Yeah.
So detectives, they did not like her immediately. They did not trust her. They shut her down. They quit talking to her. In fact, they spoke in circles around her. And that's really important because to me, that tells me that they thought that she either knew more than she let on or she had something to do with it.
Well, I think for sure that she knew more. I'm not saying that she was involved, but I'm saying that I feel like she knew more. But like you said, you know, several minutes ago, is that she doesn't want to bring up certain things because she doesn't want to lose her children, right?
Right. And right. You got to be careful.
You know, so apparently we have Tyler calling her at 3:30. And then at 4:10, so 40 minutes after that, Brittany's phone rang and it was Tyler again. And he called and said, I see the hotel. I'm walking through the woods. I'll be right there. And Brittany said he sounded so confused. And that he's not an outdoorsy person at all. And there could be two trees right beside each other and he would call that woods. And then I guess he hung up and then seconds later called again and it was him. And that's when you had said, you know, there was an open line for about 4 seconds and then boom, it was the phone hung up and it was off ever since. I know that, you know, and we can talk about it later in more detail, but I do know that the police, I guess a year afterwards, released a recording, a video of him in a parking lot, it looked like. But they said that he was talking to his phone. They released the audio of him saying, you know, get me back to the hotel or where's the hotel? So he did do that. And I don't even know how that stays on the recording or whatever of the phone. I'm not sure how that works. So maybe later you could explain that if you know.
Because everything that you talk to text on your phone is stored, whether you subscribe to the cloud or not. It is an NSA thing. It is a carrier thing. Everything can be pulled. Everything talk to text, whether it be you asking for directions or you asking Siri inappropriate questions like, hey, where do I put a body? Siri, are you a BUI, you know, BITCH, you know, all of that stuff is stored, all of it, and they can pull it anytime they want to, as long as they go get a subpoena. And Apple is the least likely to get a subpoena, but other places like AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, Boost Mobile, they will gladly help law enforcement. So they can get all that type of stuff, all of it.
So then Brittany told Dateline that it's 4:30 at this point. And this is where, again, I just, all my red flags, everything goes up. Because their friend, who Brittany said lived about 10 minutes from the hotel, says, I'm going to go home. And I just, okay, you saw dude. Dude hasn't come back. It should be freak out time. And you're like, gosh, you know, it's 4:30. I'm going to call it a night. And that just seems to me, considering that that is the person, the last person to see him alive, that's the hinky part. That's the strange thing.
It is. And it is amazing to me that he was consulting his phone on directions on how to get back to the Marriott. And he claimed to tell Brittany, I can see the Marriott in my peripheral vision. You know, it's in front of me. I mean, he could have basically just walked towards it, right? There's nothing stopping him, but he does a 360, he turns around, he walks away from the Hilton Hotel and the Marriott, which are there together. That's his landmarks. And he starts heading towards Easton, which again puts him in a wooded area that he does not know where he's at. He's from Wilmington. Why his wife did not go get him is beyond me, unless it was a complete setup and she didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, because, okay, first of all, she says, okay, to the friend, you go ahead, go home. You know, it's okay. It's 4:30. And then what does she do? Instead of going to look for him or calling somebody or telling this guy, hey, can you stay and help me? This is what you said at the outset. She starts calling her friends, asking for advice on what to do. And I don't have it in front of me, but I think that she called one of her friends at this point and talked for like 2 hours.
She did. She's like, what do I do? And to me, she's asking, like, how do I cover this up? That's my opinion. how do I get out of this? He's in over his head. To me, it sounds like they're in trouble. That's just my opinion. You know, if I'm trying to honestly help my husband, I'm talking to law enforcement. I'm talking to someone who can come out with floodlights. I'm talking to the Marriott security. I'm talking to anyone that can get out in those woods and help lead my husband back to, per se, the lighthouse. Honey, this is the way home. I know you're disoriented. I know you're screwed up. Follow me home. She doesn't do that. She gets on the phone. She's immediately in cover-up mode. She's like, I don't want to lose my kids, probably. He's a mess. You know, we've got problems, blah, blah, blah. It screams very Misty, Ron Cummings, that type of situation. I'm speculating widely because I can. You know, yeah. It's just not a fitting thing. If I loved my husband, I would be in the woods with a flashlight and Marriott police or Holiday Inn police, any of these police, Columbus police, looking for my husband.
Because here's what I just, that I don't understand, is it shows to me that she at least is indifferent to his fate. Because
I wonder if she's high at this point. I wonder what they got into. I wonder if the club, if she was so lit that she was not in her right mind, she knew enough to think about children, right? What not to say to get your children yanked away, but to distance yourself from something that could put you in criminal hot water and have you ask questions later that would make you look like a less than stellar citizen. Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying that you can't hire an attorney to get out of something like that, because you could. But in her mind, how far gone, and I'm asking because I don't know, how far gone was she to where she was so scared that she did not ask for the proper help?
Okay, so let me set this in your mind and for everybody else out there, is we have a guy who's wandering around. And you guys, if you're thinking about it, this is a, you know, kind of a corporate kind of park, and there's still lots of woods. There's little ponds. It's not fully developed. It's not streets. We're talking a lot of individual kind of things like that. And your husband's out there, possibly wasted, probably wasted, and doesn't know what's going on, disoriented. You've had the one friend leave, and you have decided, you have chosen to, instead of being out there looking for him, that you're going to be on the phone with your friend. Here is my question to all of this, is that let's say your husband manages to stagger back to the Hilton or Marriott or whatever. He staggers back. Does he have his key card with him? Is the place open where he can get in the front door? Does he know what room you guys are in? Because I think you were only there for an hour. Does he know any of that? But here you are on the phone. How are you going to help him? How are you going to be, if he says, I see the hotel, wouldn't you stand outside and see, okay, well, where are you? Or, you know, keep trying to call. And instead of trying to call, she stays on the phone with her friend for 2 hours.
Okay, well, if you go to the front desk of any hotel, they have these things called flashing lights. They'll even give you a vest. Okay, so you tell your husband, do you see me? I'm flashing. I look like a Christmas bulb. Follow me. Walk towards me. And if they don't have any type of vest, they'll give you these flashlights that flicker on and off, on and off, on and off. It's like an SOS. Come towards the light, honey. There's so many ways you can find people. And again, she could have got Columbus police involved, but she doesn't. And I question all of that, because if you need to find someone, if they can see the hotel, they can see balconies, they can see you, they can go towards a blinking light. This is a failure on either her part or his part, or something more was going on. So before these two left the dollhouse or any type of bar situation, her husband and the friend, who is not someone to be messed with, got into it with two bouncers at the club. It was a verbal, very heated exchange, and they were told to leave. And he said, as soon as I get my wife, we'll leave. And that was not good enough for the bouncer. He's like, no, I want you to leave now. So it makes you wonder what they were doing. I'm not blaming him, Tyler, by any means. But what were they doing to be acting up to get the bouncer's attention, to get thrown out to begin with? Why didn't Brittany leave right away? Why did she keep running to the washroom? You know, what's going on there? Did those people go on to follow them out? Did they spike their drinks thinking it's funny? Like, hey, we'll get these guys. You know, they want to be smart Alex. We'll get them. A lot was going on that night, you know, and it's 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Not a lot of people are out, but these people are out.
They're out. And then, so she's talking to the friend for 2 hours. And then I guess the girlfriend said, oh, you know, nothing's wrong. Tyler's going to walk through the door at any moment. But then I guess as the sun started to rise, Brittany started to get more concerned. But instead of calling the cops or something like that, she called an old roommate who lived in Columbus. And he came over around 8 o'clock in the morning. And then they decided to drive around town to look for him because maybe Tyler fell asleep on a bench. You know, like she said, we didn't know what happened, but we already know that he was in the woods somewhere and he's not on a bench. And you're waiting till 8 o'clock and then you call an old roommate and it just, and okay, so she calls the old roommate, but what about the guy that was with you and Tyler? You know, how come you're not asking him for help? It blows my mind. And she finally, like at 10:30 in the morning, calls Tyler's parents to say, hey, you know, he's been missing for the last 6 hours. I don't know what happened. You know, my friend said, don't worry. And then she also calls the Columbus Police Department to say that he's missing. And then Brittany said that after she spoke to the police, her father-in-law, Tyler's dad, came and that he searched every single area on foot by himself and he stayed there until it was dark. So if he was an hour and a half away from Columbus like they were, so he got there at noon and he stayed till it was dark. If she had called him at 4 o'clock in the morning, he would have come and I think that he would have found Tyler.
Yeah, I don't think that she wanted certain people to find Tyler under the circumstances that Tyler was under. You know, I question, like I said, the substance abuse and also who they wanted to invite into their circle and the reason that she did not invite the friend back into it is because of who he is. If he's supplying them with something allegedly, if he's someone not to be messed with and he said, hey, leave me out of it, that's the reason why she didn't drag him back into it.
And then she just kind of says, oh, well, you know what? You know, the father-in-law's here, but the mother-in-law's back with the baby. So I'm going to drive over to there, you know, an hour and a half away. And I'm going to go get and take care of our son. And then later she came back to the Easton Town Center to continue searching for her husband. And then at that point, you know, authorities were there. I go back to what you said, you know, there might not be any security other than, you know, one person at each one of these hotels because they're small little corporate park hotels. But if she had just called the Columbus police, like you said, and say, look, my husband, he went out in the woods. I think he took a wrong turn somewhere. You know, he had a lot to drink. That's all she has to say is he had a lot to drink. And I'm really worried about him. And, you know, I think the police would have sent a couple people out.
They would. The name, the number one thing to do is that when you have a missing adult, throw in something that is salacious. They're suicidal. They are at a risk to take their own life. They are drunk. They are a risk to themselves. Always point that out because if you just say, it's an adult, they're missing, they'll say, ah, give it 24 to 48 hours. They don't turn up, give us a call. If you give a mitigating factor such as, you know, this person may not come back because they want to hurt themselves, they weren't in a good place, they're depressed, something's not right, they're disoriented, they're more apt to help you. And like I said, you don't even need to go that far. If you just go to the hotel front desk and you say, hey, I lost my dog, I need one of those flashing, blinking lights so that it knows to find me, or they'll give you a vest. All of them have them. They're equipped. Tell your husband, you know, because she spoke to him on the phone several times. Honey, come to the light. You'll see the big flickering thing. I look like the 4th of July. Walk towards me. It's not that hard. To me, these two had some type of falling out. He doesn't want to go find her. She doesn't want to go find him, or she would have found him. And, you know, there's just something wrong. You've got this guy hanging out in the woods. He doesn't know where he's at. Why is he in the woods? Is he polishing off a blunt? Is he shooting up? I mean, I would love to know what it is that this couple was doing to where they couldn't come to the hotel to do it. Because it's not that hard. These woods are not that thick. If you go and you look up a satellite view of the Marriott up against the Hilton around this period of time when he went missing, you're going to find that guy. Especially if you've got one of those blinking lights. And, you know, the fact that he may have fell off into the water because he was disoriented, you know, it just depends on what he was slipped.
Yeah. Let me give you a quote that she said. They have a lot of missing people in that area, but I only have one husband. There's so many different things that could have happened, but there's no lead directing us anywhere. He would not just leave. It's kind of like, oh, you know, all these people have gone missing in Columbus. This would be the perfect place if somebody wanted to in that kind of situation, because there's been others. I mean, obviously we've talked about some of them, and there's more than the ones that we've talked about. So
they need to pull her aside, right, and say, why would someone want to hurt your husband?
Yeah, but they have a lot of missing people in that area.
So she's been investigated. They need to go through her computer searches. How does she know that? What is she doing investigating things like that? She's supposed to be at home with two kids baking apple pie. How do you know what their crime statistics are in the Columbus area unless you're up to no good? You know, you just came home with no husband. You got two kids and no husband. Where's your husband, lady?
And one of the things is that, and that other people have talked about and asked, is just like, when she's calling this friend, when she's talking to this friend for 2 hours or other friends, aren't any of them going, hey, you should call the cops? You know, I mean, if you're on this phone call for a couple of hours, are you not just, you know, let me go out and look. You're just going to sit inside and just talk on the phone?
Yeah, because, you know, to hear her tell it, they're like, oh, he'll turn up. No big deal. Just wait it out. He's drunk. He's not speaking to you. I think there's a lot more to it. I think she told them, this is just my opinion, we had a falling out. You know, we went to the dollhouse. I didn't like the way he was looking at those women for the first time. Maybe she got a little jealous. Maybe for the first time he got a little jealous. They don't want to be around each other. You know, when people exit Ubers and they don't all go the same way, he's like, I'm going out on my own. I want to go walk by myself. That tells me someone's angry.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be with her, and she doesn't want to be with him.
And someone, I guess, pointed out on Reddit or something when they were talking about it, used to be that the Tyler and Brittany's Facebook pages were more publicly available than they are. And so, you know, people obviously took screenshots and stuff. And she never commented or liked any of her son's photos or content, and left some really questionable content on there. And I guess if you look at hers and you look at Tyler's, you could tell that they were huge into at least drinking. And it just kind of, I think going back to what you said, this is how she wants to be in the interview. She's just like, I don't want to really talk about that part because it looks bad, but it doesn't look like she even cared all that much. Oh, this is my opinion, but just by, you know, if it's a newborn and this child, I think, was 20 months old or something like that, you know, there'd be the liking and all of that kind of stuff and commenting. And there was none of that from her.
Yeah. You know? Just to me screams that she knows more than she lets on, and she has a lot more to hide, and the kids become the priority. You know, when you lose one person, the last thing you want to do is lose your children. You've already lost your husband, and seems like they were into stuff that she doesn't want to talk about, and she doesn't want to drag the kids into it. If there's, I don't know how old, I know there's a 20-month-old. I don't know how old the second kid is.
Yeah. And, but then she was also like, oh, you know, I got to pay for bills now. I got to learn how to do that. I just,
that's her setting up a GoFundMe. You know what I mean? They go ahead and get started on, I need help. I need a GoFundMe. To me, you wanted to lose your husband. It's my opinion. You didn't do anything to lift a finger to physically go look for him. There was multiple resources available to you at that given time. If you could see your husband, he was calling you and say, hey, honey, I can see the hotel. I can see you. There was nothing preventing you from walking out there with said friend or said security guard or anyone else with a flashing light and finding him, bringing him in. And saying, hey, you had too much to drink. You know that part in Jaws where she just looks at him and she goes, you're just too damn drunk. You're just too damn drunk. And she puts him to bed. That's a wife.
Yeah.
You know when your husband's had enough. You put him to bed. You cover him up. You let him go to sleep. He sleeps it off. She's not doing that. You know, he's lost probably forever until somebody finds his skeletal remains either in a pond or if they're mushroom hunting. It's very sad.
When they go fishing, because he's missing.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like I said, you know, if they go to drain the pond,
the
fisherman reels something in, and he's like, ugh, not a bass.
So, and people make, you know, I don't think that the person that they went partying with is a good friend, because I think it's somebody that maybe was there in town who's just a party buddy and maybe could provide some party favors and things like that, because he didn't go looking that night. He didn't go looking the next day. This is not somebody who is a close friend. This sounds like somebody who wanted to stay far away from the radar of the police.
Yes, you're so right. You make up a good point. This is a guy who will distance himself. He doesn't want any part of it. He, you know, it makes you wonder why the couple chose Columbus, all the way from Wilmington, out of everywhere to go. Why Columbus? Is it because you have a hookup there? You know, what type of partying were you planning to do? You normally go where you know people. And the first thing I read was that they knew a couple of people there, especially the guy who ends up in the Uber with them, who is not someone to be messed with. So he doesn't want to be bothered. He's not going to help her. And whatever went on to help him happen with this guy, maybe he didn't pay his bill. Maybe they got into it. Maybe push came to shove. He didn't mean to kill him. You know, and he knocks this guy into the water, or he knocks his brains out and he can't revive him. There are just so many different situations that you could go through when you don't have a body.
And the police, on the 1 year kind of anniversary of this whole thing, they released a video, and it is, it's footage of him, of Tyler walking away from the hotel. And I guess, you know, the detectives had looked at it, and it shows Tyler going off on his own. And then they also had the cell phone audio that they believe is Tyler trying to use GPS to get back to the hotel after getting lost.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I watched it, and I listened to it. And he is definitely asking either Siri or Cortana, whoever, over and over again, how do I get back to the Marriott? Directions to Marriott, Marriott, Marriott. I mean, he's like screaming at her. And she doesn't seem to be very helpful to him, because it's a newish area. And there's something about there's different ways, different directions to get around that way. And the phone seemed very confused about where it was he was trying to go. He was getting frustrated. He just needed to start walking. I know they tell you when you get lost in the wilderness just to sit and let search and rescue find you. But if you could see the hotel, like he told his wife, you need to start walking that way. That way you come in contact with civilization, people. You don't need to walk away from civilization. So I think that he was just very disoriented and didn't have any type of who about him and didn't know where he was going. And that was his downfall. And if he fell into the water, you know, poor thing, because once you're wasted and you fall into water, your chances of drowning are like 99%. You can't help yourself. You can't.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to post a still from that video. And when you look at the still, you're like, okay, how the hell did this guy end up in the woods? Because if you look at the picture, there's like a gazillion cars. It looks like a parking lot. And you're just like, oh, I understand what you're saying. You know, if you can see something, then go for it. But if you're in a parking lot and you're kind of confused, just sit down in the parking lot, you know, because somebody will find you in the parking lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're normally lost, just be still. Don't keep going, because someone is more apt to find you if you just be still. But if you can see your hotel and you can see your wife, as they have indicated, if that's a true story, then I can understand why he would continue walking. But him walking away from the hotel just makes me think they're fighting and there was a lot more going on than we'll ever know. And that's probably why the case remains unsolved.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the still of the video, look at it and you go, okay, he should have just sat down and he would have been fine. The other thing that I look at when I see it is I don't see the other dude who supposedly went right after him and then came back a short time later. So this guy, he's still in, you know, Tyler's still in the CCTV footage. He's close enough to where there's the footage. And yet you don't have that guy. So I thought that guy went right away. So that guy's story seems kind of hanky now also.
Well, the thing is that when you're doing something illicit, right, you need to get away from cameras. You need to go deep into the woods. That's why a lot of politicians go to the woods to talk. That's why a lot of your elite men will go out into international water. You need to get away from surveillance. So the deeper the woods, the further away from a building that has any type of surveillance is going to be your friend if you're doing illicit activity. Now, you need to know how to navigate back, which means you need to carry a compass. You need to have some type of way of, if you don't know what you're doing, don't go wandering off. Okay. So it doesn't seem like Tyler knew what he was doing. The other guy got the hell out of Dodge very quickly. He did his exchange, allegedly. That's my opinion. And he got out of Dodge. He's like, look, here's your stuff. I'll take my money and I'm gone. Or if the guy didn't pay him, he beat him to a pulp and didn't give him anything and left him. It all depends. But to me, to get away from surveillance, to go into a woods, the only reason you go into a woods is if you're doing something you don't want people to see.
Exactly. But the thing is if in that video, there's not the other guy in the video.
Well,
so
of course
I don't.
Not. He took off. He's, you know, you've got Tyler trying to manipulate his camera to give him any indication how to get back to where he started. He's drunk. He's probably high. He's probably drugged on something that he doesn't know what it is, spiked. He's asking the phone multiple questions how to get back somewhere. He probably hits a lot of wrong buttons like Summer Wells' grandma did. You know, records things in the car that shouldn't have been recorded. They start hitting all kind of buttons when they're high. That's just what, I don't want to call him a junkie, but if he has a history of substance abuse, as they allege, that's just what they do. They start hitting all kind of buttons. They don't have any type of fear factor. They're just trying to get back to where they began, and it doesn't seem like the wife wanted to get involved. And, you know, to me, that's my best explanation as to what happened. But people that disappear into thin air like that, it's the darnest thing, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, her story doesn't really change, but it's very simplistic in her story but then she'll start telling a lot of small details and stuff, even though that she self-admitted that she had been drinking for hours. And then it's kind of like, you know, some people say, well, they went to a strip club. So it kind of clouds everything because they said that they went to a strip club or something. And Brittany seems to want to get attention for the case. And I don't know if it's because she wants a GoFundMe or whatever. People have also criticized how she speaks, but she's young and she's from that area and she uses certain sayings and things like that that are very common to the area.
Well, you can't criticize people. You know, if you're born and raised in the area where the dialect is different and people speak a certain way, you can't pick on them because that's the only culture that they know. Okay, you either have to learn the culture and go with it, or you have to fix your problem. You know, you making fun of them or you having a problem with it, that's on you. You're not going to learn anything getting hung up on, oh, well, I'm not going to learn that culture. Learn what she's saying, try to figure her out. But as far as, you know, her not offering up any information, and I don't know. I just don't trust her.
It is weird, right? And then there's theories like that Tyler caught Brittany and the friend flirting or something. That's what set Tyler off. But one thing that you need to know is, according to Brittany's story, she woke up Tyler and the friend when they got back to the hotel. So they were both asleep. So then Tyler woke up and, oh, I remember now. I'm still angry at you and this kind of thing. And so I'm going to go take a walk to cool off.
It makes you wonder why she woke them up, you know, because if it's a vacation, normally it's like you sleep until whenever. And when people get up, then you hit the town because they're night owls, right? So what is it that she was driving for? You know, what did she need those men to get up and go do for her? That's what I always go back to is, you know, what the forensic on the phone to me are going to be the telltale. Who are they trying to feverishly call? Who supplied them with what? Who was doing what? That's the type of stuff that needs to be looked into. And I know it sounds repetitive, but that is the best starting point. Cause when you don't know where someone disappeared to, their phone, he had his phone his whole time in his hand. That phone is going to be the tell.
Yeah. And you know, here's the thing is that then other people say, well, you know, Tyler went to go buy drugs for both of them, not just from the guy, but to go buy drugs for both of them. And that it was a drug deal gone wrong. But drug deals don't generally go wrong. You know, it's very rare because the drug dealer doesn't want to call attention to themselves. The drug dealer doesn't want to kill somebody over a couple of hundred bucks because then you know, they're not going to have any business. And it's, you know, we're talking Columbus, Ohio suburban hotel kind of
thing. I've seen people killed over $5, just for a hit. It depends on what type of bill they had racked up, what the agreement was before they met, and, you know, what type of argument ensued. If you have two people that meet up and one gets really sassy and he has a couple of words to say for Dallas, you know, the drug dealer, they will either give you a hot shot or they will do something heinous to you. You know, they'll off you. They will for the smallest thing. It's not always overlooked. You know, Chicago's got a huge problem. They will shoot you over $5. It's the way it is.
That's that. A Columbus, you know, suburb, it's less likely.
It all depends on what came out of his mouth. You know, if he said, I'm not going to pay you for 2 months. This stuff is bunk. Your stuff is no good. Your stuff is junk. I'm not paying it. Can you imagine? He probably did drop him in the water and some old man fishing is going to find him.
Because he went missing.
They may not have had any money. They may have went to Columbus and spent all of their money on their extracurricular activities, which were not substance abuse. And then when he got to Dallas, he said, hey, I don't have any money. I'll pay you later. And Dallas is like, it doesn't work like that. And he's like, well, your stuff's bunk and it's all bad. And I'm going to report you. You know how people get. I'm going to get you. That's what gets you killed. Don't start telling people, I'm going to get you. I'm going to beat you up. No, because they know people who know people who know people. And eventually it's going to end up real, real, real bad for you. And listen, even if it doesn't happen at the time and you're like, oh, I cussed that person out months ago, a year ago, they forgot about me. No, they didn't.
Well, what about this? Let me ask you this. When you have the audio of Tyler asking for directions back to the hotel, does it make it seem less likely that Brittany's involved?
No, it does. It just means that Brittany wasn't helping him. She was like, I'm mad at you. You didn't get what I want. This is my opinion. I'm not helping you do anything. And plus, he may have been utilizing his directional service as trying to actually utilize his mic. You know, maybe he's trying to pick up on something that he thought should be recorded. You never know about people. You know, he got in a bad situation and he wanted it recorded because he just kept accessing it over and over again. And she was giving him the same directions over and over and over again. I'm always curious about that because the person in the Missy Bevers murder accessed a lot of different things on their cell phone before that murder. So I'm always really curious when people are touching their phones like crazy. You know, it just depends. But I do believe that substance abuse is going to play a huge part in what happened to Tyler.
So the thing that gets me still is that third person, whether or not that third person was selling them the drugs or just said, oh my gosh, maybe the third person wasn't selling them drugs. Maybe he had a warrant. Maybe he had been in trouble with the cops recently. Maybe he was just fearful for something else and being involved. I don't know, but it's just, to me, as much as the police are focusing on Brittany, I'd also focus on that guy because he was the last person to see him alive, apparently. But again, we're only going by what Brittany said. That's all we have. Now the police, I'm sure, talked to the guy.
We don't know. They haven't focused on the guy number three.
Right.
And he could be an informant. He could be a CI. He could be lots of things. And that could be the reason why, again, a case is unsolved. I mean, the majority of cases are going unsolved because they're not going to give up a missing person or a single murder. I know it's sad if they can catch a bigger fish. They have people that they watch and they want to go after that instead.
What about, you know, so there's somebody who, you know, surmised, talked about, you know, a hypothermia situation because they told this story about, some woman in their town went missing after a New Year's Eve party and that she was found like half under a car with her pants down or something. And this was something like called the paradoxical undressing and terminal burrowing. And the girl was drunk and died of hypothermia right in the middle of a city. And something like that could have happened with Tyler.
Except for we didn't find any clothing that was littered about. right before you got to where the scent hit the creek or that body of water where the bloodhounds were barking, you would have seen jeans taken off, his shirt, whatever it was that he was wearing. There was not a wallet found, no boots. When people start getting hot or cold, they do shed clothes like crazy. We saw that in the Outlaw Pass.
Yeah.
They shed clothes, they take it off, they leave a trail. You start to figure out what happened, what went on. There's none of that. Whoever took this guy or whatever happened to this guy, everything that is on him is on him. Whether he was incinerated, whether he fell in a pond, why they wouldn't drag that pond is beyond me. Because I doubt it's that deep. I mean, how deep?
No, it's a man-made kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, why would they not just go look just for their own well-being to see if the guy's in there? It seems like the wife would hire a team to go look unless she's satisfied that he's not in there. It's a very strange story, but I didn't read anything about shedding. Did you?
No, I didn't. And that's a very good point because, like you said, then we would have found pants. We would have found a wallet. We would have found something like that. And I feel like she could have, these are small ponds. These are not big things. She could have hired a team of divers who probably could have looked at the whole pond in about 4 or 5 hours.
And of course, they need to hire the people that looked at the Randy Leach ponds. They are experts. Yeah. They are very easy to find. They don't charge anything. They're on grants and they're fantabulous. That's the word they use. Fantabulous. You know, just really fantastic guys. They can find anything if it's there. They're going to locate it, and she needs to hire someone like that if she's serious. Now, if she doesn't believe that he's there, then don't waste their time. You know, because the pings ended up on some type of interstate, and they did move around a lot before the phone completely went dead.
So let's talk about that for a second. So let's say that Tyler regained his senses, or again, we don't know what he was saying because we're only taking Brittany's word for it.
Yeah.
So Tyler could have said, oh, you know, I'm done. I'm going. And like you said, the phone pinged near the interstate and he just takes off and he doesn't want to come back. Here's my problem with that is that it seems like he was really close to his parents just by the reaction of the dad to come out there and just search every inch of every possible place that he could have been and rushed right out there. And that Brittany didn't want to call them because they knew that she knew that, you know, they would give her trouble for, you know, what do you, you know, I just, would he walk away from his family like that?
Probably not. You know, my biggest thing, my theory is that he accidentally overdosed, is that he was in such bad condition when he got out of the Uber. He was disoriented. He was adamant that they were all in the wrong place, that he needed to be somewhere else. He was flipping out. He wanted to go to the woods by himself. That's never a good sign. He gravitates towards water as if he is someone on the autistic spectrum. Anytime they gravitate towards water, you know you have problems. And I just wonder if he OD'd, you know, if someone gave him something that was too much on top of alcohol poisoning, on top of whatever else they were doing. If I'm going to Columbus and, you know, I've got these cool friends and they all deal in substance abuse, the only reason I'm going to Columbus is to get up in that. Do you know what I mean? If not, I'm going to freaking Tahiti, the Bahamas. Why Columbus? That just is not a prime tourist destination. To me, they wanted to get messed up. He got maybe a little bit too much of something. His body was probably hid. You know, the person panicked.
Yeah.
And then they dumped him somehow. That's why there's no clothes. There's no shoes. There's no signs of him. And like I said, the bloodhounds, they hit at the water. I don't know if they dredged the lake or if that's a river. I didn't look into that, but it does look like it's quite shallow.
It is. It's just like this man-made thing. And I feel, though, that this is the same end of the episode that we had with Brian Schaefer. Where it's like, okay, did he end up with somebody because we didn't see any wallet or anything? Did he get in the back of the van with the other musicians? Did they take him somewhere? Did he go to a party and somebody gave him a drug and then he died? So then it makes me think about maybe there's somebody out there that is taking all these people from Columbus because it's so similar because we don't have anything. We're giving the exact same answer that we did at the end of the other one. And it just like.
My only thing with like people being abducted from Columbus is that they want healthy people. So you have this guy and he's known to be a drinker. So his liver's in bad condition already. That's a known fact. If he took any type of substance abuse, then already different parts of his organs are undesirable. So he's not a good candidate for organ transplant or any type of kidnapping of that sort. He's too old to be trafficked. I believe that he's
way too old to be trafficked.
But he is, though, because that's not what they're looking for. I mean, if you look at trafficking statistics, he's too old. So they're looking for someone younger. He seems like he fell to his own demise, and it seems like that his wife may or may not have had a hand up in it. She certainly didn't do anything to help, in my opinion.
That is where I go with that.
And I wonder if she was into the guy that she was third wheeling it with, you know, did they have something going on? What was her life like after he disappeared? Did she remain single for the rest of her life? Did she go on to get married to someone in his circle? Those kind of questions are important. You know, did she go on to collect on him? Did she declare him dead immediately?
Well, did she, you know, it's the third friend. Are they still like, do they still talk to each other? What about this roommate that came at 8 o'clock in the morning who was from Columbus? Does she still talk to him? Those are really, really good questions. I will say this, 100%, 100,000% that she was entirely indifferent to what happened to him. Everything by her actions, she just was like, well, you know, he'll be fine. I'm just going to do my own thing. And
isn't that crazy? You have a baby. Well, you have two babies with someone and then you don't care what happens to them. You're just completely indifferent. You're like, I don't care if he surfaces or he don't. I don't understand that mentality. I don't think I ever will. You know, not even the psychology of it. If you got down to the nitty gritty and you thought this person is so disconnected from life, I still can't get there. It's like, how in the world do you not care? But to me, she's one of those type of people.
She is, because, and I think that she's trying to make up for it after the fact by going on Dateline, and she went on a true crime podcast and talked about it. It just, it's trying to make up for that because she did absolutely nothing. She did nothing.
They wait a minute and then they start cashing in, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because, so it's about that time to start cashing in where you look a little suspicious, but not suspicious enough for people to lean in on you, and you're going to collect a buck or two and, you know, we'll see what else she goes on to do in life. I do think that it is a case that police can crack if they stick with it.
I think he's
out there somewhere. And if they ever find the body, they'll find a cause of death because, you know, again, the bones don't lie.
And I think that she's hoping that they don't find the body, regardless of what she says. Because of the way she acted, everything that she did that night is the complete opposite of what you would do if you really cared about somebody who it makes no sense from the very first part. Oh, you're going to go for a walk. You're not that kind of situation. I have been in many, many hotel rooms all over the place, and it's very disorienting. If you wake up all of a sudden, you don't know what city am I in? Where am I? That kind of thing. It's very disorienting. And it's the same way even, you know, he'd been up for 30 hours and he wakes up in the back of an Uber after been drinking and everything. And she should know, okay, you know, he's a little out of sorts. I'm going to grab him by the arm and I'm going to take him into the hotel. She didn't do that, number one. Then number two, I'm going to go charge my phone. I'm not going to go on the walk with you. I'm going to go charge my phone because that's more important than you is me charging my phone. And then number three, I'm not going to come look for you. I'm going to talk to my friend on the phone for 2 hours because that's more important than you. That's everything that she did. It just says, I don't really care what happens to you.
You make a good point, and it also points to routine. You know, had she seen this behavior before? Does he often get drunk and doesn't know where he is? Does he constantly need help? Is she over him? Everything that you spoke about kind of leads to a relationship to where she's like, look, I'm sick of this. This is repetitive. Every time we go somewhere, he's drunk. He blacks out. He doesn't know where we are. He can figure himself out. He's an adult. I'm going to go in. I'm going to talk to my girlfriends. If he makes it out, great. If he doesn't, great.
Then she moves on and she does what she wants and she finds somebody else. And yeah, and just that quote will just, you know, lots of bad things have happened to people here, you know, Yeah. Why did you pick Columbus that weekend, and why do you have that quote? It's just kind of, if it's kind of like this. It wouldn't, if you're not sure in a relationship and somebody says, we should go on a cruise, don't go.
No,
if somebody says,
do it.
if you're unclear, you know, with somebody in a relationship, should you go to some international place in a jungle? Probably not.
No.
And now if you live in Ohio and somebody says, we should go to Columbus, go, no, I don't think so.
Oh, and if you're here, if you've been with someone for a long time and you're having, you know, relationship problems, marital problems, and they suddenly decide, hey, let's go on this exotic vacation. No.
Don't
just
do that.
Use your noggin and think about this. Why are they asking you to do this out of the clear blue? Tell them you'd like to do a staycation. See how that goes. You know,
we'll
it's good
right
advice
here.
Because there's just so many people trying to cash in on people and so many people cheating on people. And it's just, it's a rash of it. And you want to be safe and, you know, make them divorce you instead of stop killing people. Just leave.
I know. And you and I have talked about this many, many times. Just get a divorce. Why are you killing somebody? And the thing
they want
is,
they want the money. They don't want to split it. They just want to get rid of the golden goose without having to split any of the money. And the thing is that you need to make it out before they do something heinous to you. If you go to leave someone, don't tell them to their face. Tell them when you're away from them.
Everybody always thinks they're going to get away with killing somebody. And I'm just like, no, you're not. You're
risk
not.
Risk versus reward. These days, listen, women and men and everyone in between will tell someone in their life, I'm having a problem with my mate or my living, whatever. This person's not acting right. They act like they would be better off if I wasn't around. They're going to tell on you. There's going to be something that sneaks up on you and you're going to get caught these days because people have learned to leave little breadcrumbs. Okay. It's not like back in the day where they were like, oh, she had this big secret. Nobody knows. No, they tell everything. It's just they find confidants.
And you're tracked everywhere you go. The CSI stuff's too good. You know, it's just, you're not going to just, I don't get the mindset of it. And, you know, there's a, somebody, I think it was a comedian, but I'm not sure, but I totally subscribe to this. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I could never be a serial killer because I'm just far too lazy. And it's the same kind of thing. I can't be bothered to try and kill somebody and cover it up and then cover up the tracks. And, oh, I can't be bothered with that kind of thing. It's far, far too much detail and effort required in that. And
I am far too diplomatic for that. I would rather walk away from you and mitigate different ways of getting away from you, you know, figuring things out of how to take everything out from under you. If you're being ugly to me or splitting it, making it work, I'm not going to hurt you. You know what I mean? Unless you're pushing me into a corner and you're trying to kill me first or something. That's crazy.
So what do you think? I mean, are you leaning towards something happened to Tyler? Was he, you know, a lot of people speculated that the third person killed him because he was the last person to see him and then just walked away from it. But I don't see that really, because this person, although they're from Columbus, they probably hadn't been to this hotel. So whether they're going to kill him and then, oh, they get lucky and there's a pond there and they drag him to the pond. It just, again, that would be very fortunate that there would be one there. And according to Brittany, he was only gone for 5 or 10 minutes. So that kind of
seems... had the third wheel friend was from Columbus, so he knew the lay of the land a lot better than Tyler. So perhaps he lured him there and said, meet me here. You know, there's no surveillance cameras. There is trees, very tall trees, perhaps evergreens. And also, you got the lake, right? So if I need to get rid of you, things go sour, you're going in the lake. Maybe he didn't pay him. Maybe the wife was supposed to give him money, you know, meet me and bring me some money. She's like, oh, I don't have it. Just come up with it. Give him an excuse. And maybe they racked up one heck of a bill and it came back to bite them. The only thing I can go back to is that he overdosed and they hid the body because they didn't want any problems, or he didn't pay his bill. It's the two ways to tick off a drug dealer is to die on them or to not pay your bill.
I can't really figure this one out.
And Brittany don't want to lose her kids. So she's like, look, I'm not getting involved.
You know, the Brian Schaefer one, I feel like, okay, well, there was a reason. You know, he could have wanted to just to go. And I get, you see, with him, where he gets in the van or whatever with the people, because it's the only way he could have got out of the club without being seen, is to be on that loading dock. And that's the only way it could have happened, is he's on the loading dock, he gets involved, you know, in the van with the people, and then goes to a party and ends up dead. I kind of get that one. I can see it in my head. But this one, I'm like, okay, he goes stumbling off into the woods. And like I said, you guys take a look at the picture, because he was in a parking lot originally. So he could have just sat down. So he continued on some kind of quest or something and meets up with somebody or meets some kind of bad fate. But at the same time, you think, okay, well, he's out in the woods. This is not like the other one where he probably ended up at a party and then they dumped him in a dumpster somewhere. It's a little bit more difficult to, but I like what you said. I think that was really important and totally put me off of my theory about the hypothermia, is that there would have been shedding and they would have found stuff. So I'm going to give up on that. And I guess he ends up in a pond, and there's numerous ponds. It's not even just one. There's several ponds around there, but they're small. And I just feel like that after 3 days or whatever, the bloated body would have come to the surface. You know,
you would think. I mean, if he's not in the pond, then someone could have backed up a truck. Like I said, the third guy needs the lay of the land, some way of getting him out of here. If you OD on dollars, he's going to get you out of there because he doesn't want to go to jail. He is complicit in your death. You know, that's felony charges. You supplied someone with a substance that killed them. You knew it would kill them because it's illegal. You're not a scientist. And you're going to prison for the rest of your life. For drug charges, we all know they will bury you under the jail. So yeah, they will get rid of you if you OD on them. And Brittany probably just said, oh gosh, you know, it's nobody's fault. He was his own worst nightmare. He OD'd. She probably knows the story. This is my opinion. And she's living out her best life. You know, what can she do? If your husband ODs because he enjoys doing drugs or he did too much, then it is what it is. And you don't want to mess with the third will because you have these two other beautiful little faces to think about. Aside from that, you know, just no hypothermia, no shedding. And
so
I don't know where else he could have went.
They give him a hot shot and they wait for him to die. He goes off into the woods and dies. Then the friend says, he's dead now. I'm going to go get my truck. Goes, gets the truck, you know, loads him up in there and dumps him somewhere. Because I feel like this is not a heavily wooded area. These are just, you know, these are a bunch of buildings that they built in some woods, but they chopped up most of the woods. And this is not something, you know, this is not the barrens or something like that. This is easily findable people kind of thing. So I get that. I don't think he's there. I don't think he's in this area.
No, I think you're right. I think he was moved because, like you said, it's not a dense forest. If there was a shining light or anything like that, he could have found his way home. And if he had walked an interstate and, you know, got any type of ride, asked to go to a ride of light, you know, the police could have picked him up. His wife could have picked him up. He didn't ask to do any of that. It seems like something happened. It happened quick. It may or may not have been foreseeable, and it may have been to do with substance abuse. So, you know, the poor guy, I don't believe he's alive.
Oh, I don't either. I think he's dead. It's just a matter of, let's find the body, hopefully, and then we can figure out and go from there.
Yeah, I think he's dead. I think Lawson's dead. I don't think Brian Schaefer made it. There would have been some type of surfaces by now, you know, pictures and things like that.
So anyway, stay out of Columbus.
yes, stay out of Columbus.
Stay out of Columbus, stay off of cruises, stay off of exotic vacations. Yes. Anyway, it's amazing.
We hate to ruin your fun, but just be careful, you know. Choose your friends and mates wisely.
Yes, be very careful. don't go to Columbus with them and go to drinking. Anyway, Jen, this was a great one. I'm glad you found it because I'm always to talk about the same kind of situation and everything is just like, oh my God.
I just have to get your opinion because when you don't know where to go, you know, it's like one of those things where you have to go back to square one to figure out what in the world happened, because where do you go from here? You have a guy who people saw him and they didn't see him. So it's back to square one. If anyone wants to dig into a good mystery, this is a good one. And NT, thank you for always giving me your solid input on things like this. We'll find something cool.
And now I got a t-shirt I got to make now. So I'm going
to. That's right. Listen, you're about to get missing. Guess who's going to find you? Some old man fishing.
Oh, God, that is so perfect. That is just like the best thing ever. Oh, I love that. That made this episode all by itself. Just that one saying. So.
Oh, you're welcome. They're going to be like, oh, she's so redneck. But I'm telling you, it's a thing. If they don't burn you in the back of the car, they find you fishing. They do it all the time.
Well, that's great. And honestly, I'll be thinking about that for all week. So
yeah, I'm sorry to leave you on that note. So I'll leave you on a more positive note. You know, everyone have a great weekend. Go out, eat your favorite meal, wear your mask, and, you know, live your best life. How about that?
Sounds great. And we will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And everyone stay safe. Bye.
Bye.